Let us pray. Father, source of light in every age, the Virgin conceived and bore your Son, who is called Wonderful God, Prince of Peace. May her prayer, the gift of a mother's love, be your people's joy through all ages. May her response, born of a humble heart, draw your spirit to rest on your people. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them, this is how you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. So shall they invoke my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks
God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples, you guide the nations on earth. May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God still give us blessing till the ends of the earth stand in awe. May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time has come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. grace, most blessed among women. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. This feast is officially called, and part of its name, the Octave of Christmas. An octopus has how many legs? An octagon has how many sides? And an octave, in church talk, it also means something in music connected with eight. An octave is an eight-day celebration, of which there are quite a few. In this feast is the eighth day of the Feast of the Incarnation, and then we fold into the season of Christmas. It's the completion of the feast. Like the resurrection is sometimes called the eighth day of creation. It's the feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and the octave of Christmas. We've talked many times before about this title, Mary, the Mother of God, which some dispute, as if Mary could pre-exist God himself by being God's mother. Yet this has been a consistent title of Mary since the earliest days of Christianity, and it reveals more about her son than Mary herself. Cyril of Alexandria said that to deny calling Mary the Mother of God makes Jesus into two persons, a God person and a human person, or into a person who is either not fully divine or fully human. But we believe that Jesus did not have a split personality, but that he was one person, fully human and fully divine. We celebrate this feast as a holy day of obligation and the close of the octave of Christmas because this is a feast of the Incarnation. The eternal Son of God, the eternal Word through whom the heavens were made, becomes human flesh, one like us in all things but sin, yet remaining fully God. So we have a high priest and an advocate who knows what it's like to be in our skin, to feel like we do, to be hungry and deserted and misunderstood and endure such great stress that he sweat blood. God comes to us through Mary. Jesus comes to us through Mary as an historical act, as an example in Mary of humility and trust and obedience. Through Mary as a great intercessor and as the Mother of God and our own Mother, the Mother of the Church and our own Mother. What must it have been like to be in this role? What must it have been like to be the Mother of God? What would have been the thoughts and the understandings of this very young Jewish girl in the events that we just heard in the Gospel and that we celebrate in this season? How did Mary experience the grace of God in these exceptional events? I think our Gospel today gives us a clue. Our Gospel story today says, Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. I think there's something important here. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Mary kept all these things. What did she keep? Gabriel's words, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The events of her Immaculate Conception, development of her miraculous pregnancy, God's provision. When there was not a room in all the inns. And now, these shepherds' reports of choirs of angels filling the night sky and giving praise to God for what was happening in her son, and then instructing them to seek out this baby. Mary kept all these things. I don't think that's as easy as it sounds. I think it's easy to lose these things God does for us. Look at the blessings we have. Not just food, shelter, and clothing, but in human history, they are exceptional. But family, friends, companions on the journey, the treasures of heavenly food, the true manna from heaven, the clarity and the assuredness that the living Word of God gives us, and all things that God intended us to know, the benefits of the sacraments of baptism, being reborn in the Holy Spirit, being God's own children, the forgiveness of our sins, spiritual power for healing of body and mind. How can we not think that we, above all people on the face of the earth, have been most blessed? If our eyes are open, truly if we see in faith all that God has done for us, how can we not see that we're most blessed? We don't always see ourselves that way, do we? It is because we do not always keep these things in our hearts. We lose them, we forget, we rationalize, we complain, we murmur. We lose heart. And so easily could Mary, but she kept these things in her heart. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. What do you reflect on in your heart? What God has done, or what you think he has not done? Do you reflect more on your disappointments or on your blessings? Do you reflect more on your sins or on the very forgiveness, the complete cleansing of those sins? Mary reflected in her heart on all the things that God has done. Our gospel reading today leads into the events that happened 8 days after his birth. In fact, many of you will remember that that was the feast we used to celebrate 8 days after Christmas. Remember? January 1st was the feast of the circumcision. We used to celebrate it 8 days after Christmas because in the Bible it happened 8 days after Christmas. And even now as we celebrate the feast of the Mary, Mother of God, in our gospel, we remember that event. Last Tuesday we had part of that story of what happened when Jesus was brought by Mary and Joseph to be dedicated in the temple on the 8th day. Simeon, a man God promised would not die until he had set his eyes on the Messiah, this Simeon sees Jesus. On the 8th day, and speaks out in the Holy Spirit. He calls Jesus a light to the Gentiles and glory to Israel. And at the end of this inspired speech, part of the divine office recited every day, he tells Mary something hard. He tells Mary that what Jesus has come to do will be opposed, it will be contradicted. And he tells Mary that a sword will pierce her. It's the first mention, but certainly not the last, the first mention of suffering in the Gospel of Luke. Mary must have kept these words of Simeon too, reflecting on them in her heart. What does it mean that a sword would pierce her? I studied this. I looked some things up. These are things people have said about a sword piercing Mary's heart. John of Damascus says that Mary was pierced by grief as she saw her son hang on the cross. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Ambrose says that the sword that pierced Mary is the Word of God, because the Bible calls itself the Word of God, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This Word of God did that work in Mary too. Others say that the sword reveals the pain that any good disciple feels when they saw all the good that Jesus came to do, all the help he came to bring, all the good he wanted to do, and see it rejected. And sometimes not only rejected, but ridiculed and mocked. For the truth that Jesus comes to bring will search the heart of every man and woman, and many will be scandalized at the need to pick up the cross and to deny one's own life. What a great sorrow to see love itself rejected. And a sword will pierce your heart, Mary heard. What has pierced your heart? Is it grief? Grief in many forms, for tragic losses, Is it the unfairness and the impenetrability of life here on earth? Is it the truth of the Word of God that leaves you nowhere to hide? Your excuses evaporated. Is it the pain that you see people you love bring on themselves? The pettiness and folly of rejecting the love of God? Is it your own fear to embrace the suffering in your life and seeing it at the cross that leads to the resurrection? Mary is one like us whom God did not preserve from having sorrow and suffering pierce her. But she did not let that make her give up on her son. Even in the moment of the greatest diabolical darkness and fiercest fight, and even more important, her son did not give up on her. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And after the sorrow of the cross, Mary saw her son who once was dead. She saw him alive. And it all made sense, and it was all worth it. She was with the apostles. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church in a new beginning. What do you keep in your heart? Even when it feels pierced. Pierced by your own failures, perhaps. Or by the failures of others. Reflect and protect in your heart what God has done. And you too will see what Mary now sees.